Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, Sports City. It's your boy TP Thomas back at the helm. We got the wrap up in session for the next 60 minutes. Kitchen has been closed for quite some time. Been running around the New England area of the United States of America. But I'm back at the lower half of the New England region. I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside. The Kitchen Timeless is alive. Sports City, welcome back to the wrap up.
One, two. Check me out right here, yo.
Yo, the sun don't shine forever, but as long as it's here, then we might as well shine together. Better now than never, business before pleasure. P. Diddy and the fam, who you know do it better. Yeah, right, no matter what, be airtight. So when you hear something, make sure you hear it right. Don't make an ass out of yourself by assuming our music keeps you moving. What are you proving? You know that I'm two levels above you, baby. Talk me, baby, I'ma make you love me, baby. Talking crazy ain't gonna get you nothing but choke. And that jealousy is only gonna leave you broke. So the only thing left now is God for these cats. And babe, you know you're too hard for these cats. I'ma win cause I'm too smart for these cats. While they making up facts, you making up slack.
In the commission, you ask for permission to hit him. He don't like me, him and wild wife, he was with him. You heard about the murderer, smooth shady. Been on the low lately, the feds hate me. The son of they say my killing's too blatant. You hesitating, I'm in your mama crib waiting. Not taping, your fam, destiny lays in my hands. Gat lays in my waist. Francis, M to the is H phenomenal. Gun rest under your vest, body abdominal. Climb a few bars so I can buy a few cars. Then I kick a few flows so I can pick a few holes. Excellence is my presence. Never tense, never hesitate. Leave a nigga bent, real quick, real sick. Wrong nights, I perform like Mike. Anyone, Tyson, Jordan, Jackson, action.
Okay, okay, okay. The caller number is 917-889-9596. That's the next 6 minutes or more. Locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with the chef. And like I said, due to me, due to the situation that have been popping off in my life, had the kitchen closed for quite some time, but we're back in a situation where I'm in the kitchen and I'm doggone nervous. That's right, I'm nervous. I'm not going to lie. The day is here. As much as I've been floating around, feeling free as a bird, free as a butterfly, whatever you want to call it, I was flying around. Now it's like back to the ground zero, back to where it all began. So let me do as best as I possibly can until I get everybody situated here in the building. First and foremost situation to jump out there in the deep end, the Toronto Raptors take care of business up against the Miami Heat, in which the Heat tried to do all they could to push this series into their favor, and not only put it into their favor, but try to get to an Eastern Conference final and go up against a familiar face who is now a foe, and being LBJ, number 23, LeBron James, and it couldn't happen. Toronto slammed the door on them and actually came up with a big-time blowout, winning this game by 20 or more points. Now, here's an interesting situation on how people see this Miami Heat team moving forward. If pieces do stay there, and ultimately, to me, the thing that I'm looking at convincingly is how things do pan out with Chris Bosh, because at the end of the day, that's why I'm here in the kitchen. I love sports. I'm not going to lie. Every sport that there is possible that I have a team that I have a liking for, I support and love. But at the end of the day, for a guy like Chris Bosh, it's bigger than basketball. It's bigger than sports. It's your life on the line. But he feels like he can give it a go, especially in the time that he's going to have until he gets back. Of course, you know, even if he were an invite to the Olympic team this summer, I think he definitely should stay at home with the family and try to recoup and recover as best as he possibly can. But this Miami Heat team has some questions to, you know, address at the end of the day before they come into the 2016-2017 season. I can't believe it. I'm saying those type of numbers, 2016-2017. Okay, fair enough. I do have one of the chefs in the building. I have Mr. Silver here at the wrap-up. Welcome to the wrap-up. How are you feeling this evening?
Oh, I'm feeling good, feeling good. Around the kitchen right now, so if you hear some clanging or something, I you know, apologize beforehand. But I'm feeling good today.
Okay, so your thoughts on an epic Game 7 in which Toronto actually took that game in epic fashion. Your thoughts as they actually closed out the Heat, your thoughts on the Heat actually not putting up the effort that they did just a game ago in Game 6 and where it was extended as well. Your thoughts.
You know, again, we could sit here and talk about Chris Bosh and the absence of Hassan Whiteside, but they were gone in the last game, Game 6, and they won that game. Again, this is something that I had said about Game 2 or 3. Actually, might have been a little later. Probably was about after Game 4, where I said from here on out, it's going to be home court. The only thing that's going to separate these two teams would be the home court advantage. That mental edge you get when you play on your home court and how you feel. To me, the drought, or not drought, the never going to the conference finals for the Raptors, Dwayne Wade trying to avenge the go back and face his old foe and LBJ, it was one of those things that, you know, there was a lot of there's a lot of talk or wanting to witness what would be a Dwayne Wade versus LeBron James for the finals playoff matchup. So there's a lot of that going on as well. The game in and of itself, though, it was a great game. Watching that game go on, how close Miami was able to keep it. Once the game got rolling, you got into the third quarter, and then there in the fourth quarter, you could totally see the absence of Hassan. The absence of Whiteside, the absence of Chris Bosh, and what those guys bring to getting rebounds offensively, defensively, and what have you. I think that was sorely, sorely missed. We saw everyone getting out-rebounded on the Miami Heat team from the third quarter on. It was just – I think that that right there in and of itself was one of the main reasons to me that I kept seeing this lead grow and grow and grow. While they were missing shots or trying to put it on Dwayne Wade's shoulders, they were unable or unwilling to try and get second chance shots for the Miami Heat, which in turn led to Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan and those boys able to come down and whether it would be what's his name, Ty? Monster Dunk. It starts with a B. Do you remember his name? So on the Raptors, Bebelo or
I can't say. Bismack Biyombo.
Biyombo, there it is. What that guy was bringing as another option to the offense on the other end of the ball, on the other end of the court. It was just too much for the Heat to overcome. Again, when you got Kyle Lowry going down there, taking to the rack for a three-point play, you go down and miss. You can't get a second chance. You can't get a rebound or a sniff of one. They come back down and bang another three. Now, there was a point there when it looked like it was going to go back and forth, and maybe Miami was going to get into it, and then they stopped making shots. They were unable to get rebounds, and Toronto was on one. Whether you want to say that they were hotter than most or whatever, but they were at home. They were feeling it, and they were getting some pretty good open and not some, I don't know if you could say, heavily contested dunks or layups. There was, it looked like the Raptors were taking advantage of a depleted, older team that was at its wit's end with the bench and the play. And so the game in and of itself was exciting to start, and then of course the Raptors pulling ahead, just sitting there watching and then listening to it. It was kind of fun to see the Toronto and the Raptors team in that city celebrate going to the conference finals for the first time ever. But that's just something that really, like I said, to me that since about Game 4, that series was going to be determined on who had home court. It just so happened Toronto was. As Miami moves forward, you made a quick mention of Bosh. They're going to get Hassan Whiteside back next year. Hopefully Chris Bosh comes back. This team with those two players, healthy, Dwayne Wade doing what he did this year. You know, he wasn't the best of all, but he was able to help. And those guys getting years together, along with Goran Dragic, along with guys like Mr. B, I don't want to mess up his name, you know, getting some more help like that. I think 15 – or not Mr. B, I'm sorry. Getting Chris Bosh back and all those things, that's definitely going to, I think, help them. And they'll still be a playoff team next year to me. The overwhelming concern for me and the Miami Heat is not how they're going to play. It's not who their coach is or how Pat Riley runs it. It's the health of Chris Bosh. I think this team does sway with him. I know they were still winning without him, and they were able to do things and get to the next round. But I firmly am a believer that if Chris Bosh is playing right now, we're looking at a Miami Heat-Cleveland Cavaliers series that quite possibly could be going into game two already or getting ready, you know, to get it going or however. I don't know if they start them at the same time. But, you know, we could have been seeing the Miami Heat and Cleveland waiting for game one. That's how I think integral or helpful Chris Bosh could have been in this Miami Heat team. There's no denying that. I think his part on the team and what he can bring when he's 100% healthy will help them win more games and quite possibly go further in the future. But this team is a team that I think is constructed very well. They've got a point guard. As long as Dwayne Wade stays put, I think they'll be okay next year. That is, you know, the second question along with Bosch's health. Does he stay? Does he go to New York? Does he do anything crazy? You know, what happens with Dwayne Wade? But I think, you know, first is if Bosh comes back healthy. Second is Dwayne Wade, where he ends up wanting to go or stay or whatever have you. But Miami, I think that's their end of future. And Toronto, we'll get into that in that series coming up. But I think Miami, they're going to be okay. I think Pat Riley and them boys, I think they're going to be able to pick up what they have, hopefully get Chris back healthy. I'll get Chris back healthy, and then, of course, you get Hassan Whiteside back healthy next year. They should be okay.
Right, and I'm going to be quite selfish. I don't care how people may view this situation, but I'm going to be selfish anyway. I was born in the beginning of the 80s, like going through that decade as a kid and watching all of the historians of the sport of basketball or football, whatever. I'm going to be selfish in saying this. I want Dwayne Wade to retire as a Heat player. I don't want to see him go somewhere else and try and make a fit and him being late in his career and they'd be like, oh, well, what if he was in his prime? No. Dwayne Wade carried enough of this team without Bosh and was still able to score a 38-point type of night, still put up 30-point efforts with an S, not just like this happened one time. I want him to stay there. As much as he could probably go somewhere else and be a part of a big three or – big two, whatever they want to put together, I'd rather see Dwayne Wade wrap it up down there in Miami. I still remember his rookie year, and he snatched my heart out of my chest. Now, mind you, I've seen as much as Dwayne Wade when he was in college at Marquette. He was going up against Georgetown and things like that. But when he came in his rookie season, I still am a fan of the guy. But at that time, I was a big-time Baron Davis fan, and I still remember the playoff matchup where the Heat played the Hornets, and Dwayne Wade just bullied Baron. Baron couldn't do anything with Dwayne Wade at all. I was like, this kid is going to be a stud. In the league, he's going to be a stud. I don't want to see him finish his career elsewhere. Where he started at is where he should finish. And I'm not saying, like, oh, next year or this year is the last year for Dwayne Wade. I'm just saying I don't want to see him move. But the Chris Bosh situation, I think I'm following more heavily than ever. Because, like I said, I was a kid in that 80s and 90s era. I watched Reggie Lewis die on the floor just to stay away, just the city I was in just yesterday in Boston. I watched Reggie Lewis die. I was watching that game on NBC where he died on the floor. That's the illest I've ever seen, the illest I've ever seen. So, you know, not like that Reggie Lewis situation had anything to do with it, but I still remember that, you know. So I like to see people retire where everything started. That's just me. That's the basketball that I was brought up on. And I'm not going to lie. Like, I feel like NFL and NBA are neck and neck, but, you know, the first sport that I was introduced to was the round ball and hardwood. You feel me? So Yeah, that's the way I address this one. Okay, so we do have people here at the door. Let me get them in here. Calling in by way of the Virginia region, we have Mr. Beard at the door. Welcome to the wrap-up. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm tired, and I'm sorry I'm late. I just got really busy.
Okay, I just ask how you're doing. I don't want any problems. Okay, so as you seen yesterday, the Toronto Raptors advanced to the Eastern Conference Finals in spectacular form. I just really wonder where the consistent play from Lowry and DeRozan was supposed to be at all playoffs long, but now they put it together in a Game 7, and they advanced to their first Eastern Conference Final ever. Your thoughts on the matchup?
Do you really want to know my opinion? Really want to know my opinion? I think I made my opinion on Facebook. But if you missed it, I'm happy the NBA got what the fuck they wanted. Fuck Toronto. Fuck Canada. I guess LeBron bitched him wide enough so he could get to the Eastern Conference, to the finals. Because the NBA got exactly what they wanted. They want a rematch so they can, and I'm saying it right now, I caught it with Peyton Manning. I'm calling it now. This shit was fixed. That game was fixed last night from the get-go. I knew it when I freaking seen that dumbass Crawford as officiating. You want to talk about the next crooked NBA official? There he is. They called fouls against the Heat that weren't even damn fouls. Dude, that was so fixed from the get-go, it wasn't funny. So congratulations, Cleveland, and having a big crybaby and didn't want to play the big bad Heat. Now, let's talk about Bosch, because this is serious. He may not be able to play again. If his health stays the way it is, he will not ever be able and be cleared to play. That is sad. I really hope Pat Riley and the Heat can do something to help him if he can't play anymore. Because that will hurt Miami more than ever.
I mean, there's only so much that they can do other than, you know, watch, you know, the hands of medicine come through and help him out. He's going to need, you know, things to thin his blood, stuff like that, because he got blood clots. So they don't want to play with that. Like, it's only so much they can do. But, like, literally, if I'm understanding where you're coming from, whether giving him an assistant coach job or somewhere up in the front office or something like that, then I can understand where you're coming from. But, if they're trying to rush her back out there on the floor, I think they have to use, extra caution out there. And that's probably why I was addressing that situation with Reggie Lewis back in, what was that, 92, 93? I still remember that. And watching him, you know, sit up on the floor, reach for his toes, I still remember that. Reggie Lewis reaching for his toes. And next thing you know, they had to get the stretcher and get him off the floor, man. I mean, I don't want to see Chris Bosh in that situation. So, literally, like I said, the hands of medicine, doctors watching this closely, and they're going to have to limit and watch him while he goes out there and performs as best he can. I mean, he's under the age of 30. If not, he is 30. I don't really know Bosch's specific age, but I think they at least have to try and keep Bosch and Wade together as being some of the core pieces, because, you know, as much as they kept him here year after year being Udonis Haslem, I mean, Haslem gave them a go, but Haslem is no longer a factor for this Heat team. I think Udonis is just basically collecting a check, so on and so forth. They don't really have anybody at that power forward position that can answer these questions. I mean, I really feel bad that they watch a guy like Luol Deng come there and have glimpses at the start of the series. And I'm calling you out, Luol. I am calling you out, Luol. Every freaking where you've been, you have a glimpse of some type of effort and you fall asleep. Every single time you come out there, especially in postseason play, like, I just don't get it, man. And also, Joseph Johnson, I'm not calling you Joe. I'm not calling you Joe, even though I love your stroke when you shoot the ball. It's crazy. Where do you go? Like, Luol Deng and Joe Johnson. more or less Joey Johnson, because I'm a Joe Johnson fan, but both of y'all, especially Luau, but more Luau, but I don't even know. I just both of y'all take heed to this, man. This is food for thought. Y'all getting paid millions of dollars to do something that all of us love, or at least I know I love this sport. I love sports just in general, but I love basketball with all my heart. You know what I'm saying? And you guys would rather sit there and either watch the team give the all-out effort or watch Dwayne Wade be Superman and try to carry – or Flash. Let me just give him his correct nickname. Be Flash and carry this situation, and you guys just squeeze in points and do what the hell you guys can to try to come out with a winning output. You guys are getting paid to come out there and perform. So, Jonathan, you have one of the better strokes that I've seen in the league. Of course, we've got a lot of people that can shoot the hell up, that shoot the ball like crazy. And you accept scoring anywhere from 14 to 17 points a game. If I was y'all, and I know my time is coming, going, or whatever, I would literally be in my backyard shooting that ball until that ball did not touch the net. Do you hear me? Like those type of jump shots. I wouldn't be satisfied if I seen the net splash up. I wouldn't know. I want to see that net sit there still after every shot. Like you guys wouldn't be pissed. I could tell they're the type that accept what's being given to them. What's being given to them? In that case, you guys will never finish out on top. Never. Unless you guys clean up your act and get stronger. Joe Johnson, next year, you'll be 36. We're the same age. I hate to even call myself out like that, but you'll be 36 next year. Luau Deng, I mean, same age range. In that same age range, how are you guys going to get it done? Dwayne Wade is the same age, too. I mean, all of you guys will be – you. The Miami Heat will be next year's San Antonio Spurs, people. They'll have potential. They'll have talent, but they will be the San Antonio Spurs next year unless one of these guys gets it. Dwayne Wade should be content. Dwayne Wade is giving you guys everything that he can while he's out there on the floor, and you guys don't have a doggone ring and won't go hard.
Pat Riley this summer going after and making some big moves. In the draft, you know, free agency, watch. Pat Riley's going to make some big moves this summer.
You know, I have a, you know, like everyone here, I honestly think Pat Riley is going to do whatever he can, the right thing, the right way. He'll get it done. Again, you sit here and you talk about Joe Johnson, you talk about Luau Deng. I mean, you can just look across, or not across, but down the other end of the bench or at the beginning in Kyle Lowry. After game one, they get the tail thrash. He stays after and shoots around for 2 hours. Since then, he's been pretty good. I don't know. He's lighting up the rest of the series. Now, again, they didn't win every single game since then, but he hadn't been non-existent or disappearing since then. He was not going to let game one be the end-all, be-all. You know, stayed after, was putting in the heart, the work, the effort, whatever you want to call it. And ever since then, he came out with the ball. You have to understand, these players have to understand that, of course, we all know you're making money. We all know you're a professional athlete. We know the time and effort you put in, whether you are Kyle Lowry, who's only been a couple years, or sorry, I don't know what that is. Whether you're Kyle Lowry or whether you're I really can't. I don't know what that is, guys. I'm sorry. I lost my train of thought. Yeah, whether it's Kyle Lowry, who's been there for, you know, a few years, or you know, it's guys like Luau Deng or Joe Johnson, who are, you know, in their after 35, and you know, it could be their last couple years. You have to want it. I mean, you can't just sit there and be content at making the playoffs and that's it. You can't be content at just being throwing your hands in the air and saying, that's all I've got. It's players like that that don't win championships. It's players like that that aren't key components on you know, great teams and what have you. They will always be good, like you call them, you know, NBA All-Stars or whatever. They'll be good players, but they're just not going to be that championship drive player that you want on your team. So you're right. Those players – you know, what did you wasted every, to me, you're making all that money, to win championships. I just don't get your whole job is to win. I just don't understand. My whole job is to tear down things. I'm in construction. I want to do it the best I can. If there's a way, if I can't, if I have to break down a wall and right next to it, there is another wall that I can't touch. I have to do it perfectly. I just don't break down the wall. And, you know, it's just, there's, it's your job. You're supposed to do things. You're supposed to, you know, in this case, win championships, be relevant. And these guys are content at making the playoffs and not showing up, but more than maybe once or twice. It's ridiculous. Luol Deng, Joe Johnson, take a long look in the mirror and ask yourself if you want to play basketball anymore. Because to me, you're just collecting a check. And if I'm a fan of the Miami Heat, I'm letting them know from here until next season starts.
Okay. We do have a caller in queue calling in from the Georgia area. Welcoming them back. Donnell, welcome back to the wrap-up. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm good, brothers. How you doing? How's everybody doing?
What's going on,
brother? Doing
all right.
Doing good. Okay. So your thoughts on at least the Game 7, Miami getting blown out. I can't even look at it any other way with Miami getting, you know, beaten pretty bad in Toronto up against this Raptor team.
With all due respect to everybody that knows about basketball, this, that, and the third, it's the NBA, man, and it's home teams win Game 7. Home teams have always won Game 7. These two teams are already demonstrated. Neither one of them are really that good. So them splitting back and forth six games, why would Toronto lose a Game 7? Why would Toronto lose this Game 7 at home? Like, I don't see why they would lose it. And then when Miami got cold, they started out cold. When they got cold down the third, it was like, well, of course Toronto's going to win that. Listen, it's better for the league, Canada pushed up a little bit more, especially a city like Toronto. If it's Vancouver, it'd be different. It's better for them. You don't want Miami-Cleveland because I wanted it for personal reasons. You didn't want that. Miami's not good. Whiteside probably wouldn't have played. They would have got beaten four games flat, regardless of LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, or friends or whatever. They would have won. At least in Toronto, you have two super sellout, big-deal Canada games before they get blown out in four as well. So it's just better for the league anyway. That game didn't live up to the hype because there really wasn't that much hype. Miami-Toronto? When was Miami-Toronto going to be such a big deal anyway? Game 7 is the best two words in sports. So I love Game 7, but not Miami-Toronto. I don't think any of you guys are all that primed for that game thinking that was going to go down to a buzzer beater. None of these games have really been all that, you know, they were all that exciting. Not really. So let's just get that over with. Let's hurry up and get into these World Conference Finals.
Wait. I actually thought that the Heat could actually win that game, even though I was pulling for Toronto because of personal reasons I was pulling for Toronto. But,
okay.
You know, I still feel like Dwayne Wade was carrying that team enough to win that series. Just to win that series.
His two biggest games in the playoffs in this particular series, his two huge games where he looked like Flash, were in Miami.
No, he had that one game five.
Game five. But Toronto playing at home in Game 7, I wasn't surprised they won. I don't like how much they beat him by because the series hasn't really been a blowout series. But Dwayne Wade would have to have played on that level where he's played his whole career pretty much, at least especially that first half, like super Dwayne Wade type stuff. And everybody else had to kick in. I love Joe Johnson for personal reasons. I moved to Atlanta when Joe Johnson signed with Atlanta. Not for that reason, but it just sort of coincidentally. So I saw him play when he was getting 25 points a game. And regardless if the team was bad or not, you couldn't stop him. So I remember that, Joe. So and then he moved, and then he goes to Brooklyn, which is my team. So I'm like, yeah. So I wanted that. But he would have to be that Joe again.
Where is that Joe?
That Joe died when he got traded from Atlanta. When they traded to Brooklyn, he was never going to be that Joe again. Joe Johnson needs 20 shots. None of them are bad shots. He doesn't take bad shots.
He doesn't take a bad shot.
He never has. In Arkansas, he didn't take bad shots. He needs 25 of them, though. He's that guy. I need to hold the ball, pound dribble, back the guy.
He's so passive. He's too passive. Somebody needs to just walk into the locker room and just tell him to be selfish. Like take his stuff
from
him.
That's not him, though. That's not him.
Oh my
That's
goodness,
not him. He's a nice Southern guy. He's a gentleman. He
right.
stayed that way. Even when he was backing guys down in 2009, 2008, playing Boston, we had Game 7. I was at Game 4. That was the livest Atlanta's ever been since the Falcons made the Super Bowl. That's how live it was. Even then, with Paul Pierce talking shit and KG yelling at guys and fighting, he still wasn't. He was the only one that was like, yeah, I mean, okay, well, okay. And he had some big games in that series, but he was never super
right.
high. That's not Joe. That's just not
right,
Joe.
Man.
He ISO Joe, baby. I got one way to look at the game. I'm cool with it. I got one style. I'm a pound the dribble. I'm gonna back you down. I'm gonna hit 15 footers. He has the most beautiful 15 foot jump shot in the league. Problem is,
wow.
you're not gonna see it like you used to.
You don't
take 25 shots no more. You know, he was gone once he left Atlanta, and he was playing with other good players like, was Ron Williams was a good player at the time, and guys like that. KT and Paul Pierce, no. He was going to be the one to say, hey, guys, I'm still nice. I need 20 shots. He's not going to be that guy. He's fine with it. He's been cashing checks for years, man. He's cool. And with Chris Bosh thing really quickly, he doesn't need basketball. He's a very intelligent, well-spoken man. He doesn't need it. Don't risk your life of basketball.
Right, right, right. No, no, right,
he's
right.
He made $200 million. He doesn't need it. Yeah, forget basketball. None of us should even be worried about him playing basketball. I wish I was his friend. I would tell him, yo, man, are you nuts? You have a wife and strong kids. TNT is calling. They're going to be fighting. As soon as he
right.
puts his word in there, I'm done. ESPN, TNT going to be fighting over that guy. He is well-spoken, good-looking guy. Mm-hmm. People, everyone in the league liked him. That might have been his problem. He was never that dunk on you. I'm an asshole guy because that wasn't who he was. Everyone in the league likes him. He's on TV tomorrow if he stops playing, if he makes it official today. And he made $200 million playing basketball. I don't need his money. I don't need it. He can still do those
right.
damn, whatever that drug is, whatever, him and Arnold Palmer and the rest of the guys, he can still do those commercials all day long, my blood clots, all day long. That's him all day. He got that shit locked up. His mom talking about blood thinners and whatnot. Listen, my mom had that. She ended up passing away from cancer, so I'm not playing with that. I'm saying I don't want him to play. I don't want to touch basketball again. Play in the backyard with your kids. Play in the gym with your homies and play a little half court with your friends. No more NBA basketball. He doesn't need it. He doesn't need it. And Miami's not winning anything anyway. So let's stop with the whole, man, I hope he just
doesn't
need it.
Your
life is worth way more than that. He's 29 years old.
Right. He's 29, yeah. So he's not even 30 yet. He's not even 30, and he's having health issues.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And like I said, I'm trying to be a part-time basketball historian pulling up, you know, the Reggie Lewis situation or Hank Gathers situation. So – it's like, nah, I don't want to relive that, man. I want you to try to live as long as possible. And just like, Donnell just hit on, I'd rather see you count that money and live life and do what you need to do instead of risking it for the Heat. But you guys aren't primed to be a championship team. I mean, you could be playoff contenders. I won't put that by you. Like, of course they can get to the postseason.
Yeah.
But as far as I see them in the Eastern Conference Final until LeBron starts to show some age, because ain't nobody stopping him.
Nobody's stopping him. LeBron James turned 31 in December. Ain't nobody stopping him. He'll be there for longer. Kyrie Irving's a kid. Kevin Love is. This is the first season Kevin Love literally has played. It's really his first playoffs. Don't count last year. He played two games. I think three games. What was that in Boston?
Right.
That was game three. So he's never been in the playoffs before. This is his first real season. Because those years in Minnesota, they don't count. Because they were out of every game. They won 20 average of 25 games a season. He got 20 points a game in 15 rebounds on a team that didn't have any players. So this is his first real, oh, shit, it's June. It's May going into June. I'm playing ball? This is crazy. So this is the first time for him, too. So he's young. He's never really been – his legs ain't tired. He's never played more than 82 games until now. Now he's really playing real ball. So they got a young team. Cleveland's not changing. LeBron's not crazy. He's not going to re-up and try to sign somewhere else. He's fine. Cleveland ain't changing. There's no reason for Miami to try to talk Chris Bosh into being the fourth seed and the fifth seed in the East again because – that's all you're going to get in the East. Because Pacers is going to get better. It's not Nate McMillan to coach today. Pacers will get better. Washington will be okay. They'll be back. Boston's really good, so to speak. Atlanta's okay. They'll be the third and fourth seed every year. They'll get bumped. So the East is going to stay the same. Ain't nothing changing in the East. So you might as well just go ahead and retire and live your life with your pretty wife and your kids and go spend some money in Miami. Go coach at Georgia Tech. We can use another assistant coach. Something. But not this. You don't need no basketball.
Okay, as we look forward to this Eastern Conference final situation with Toronto visiting this Cleveland Cavaliers team, I want to throw this around. How you guys feel about Toronto moving forward and looking forward to this series up against the Cleveland Cavaliers? Tommy, I'll start with you first.
I really don't give a damn. I'm done with the NBA the rest of this season. I'm done. Miami will probably, or Cleveland will probably win. They'll probably get five because the NBA will have to make sure they make more money and suck people in to make Sucker more money. So they'll win at least one game, but this shit's over. Just go ahead and move to the finals. We all know Golden State and Cleveland going to the finals. Because it's the bigger story because of the rematch. So just get
Amen.
There. Get the shit over with.
Amen.
Wow.
Mm.
Anybody want to talk
from the get-go? This shit is fixed from the get-go.
Just oh, no,
like
ain't nothing fake about the NBA.
Super Bowl was fixed. This shit's fixed from the get-go.
No.
Yeah, when things go your way, I mean, yeah, everything's fixed.
Oh, shut up, Nacho.
The thing... No, it's fine. Just be on time next time. The thing about this series coming up is Valanciunas. To me, that's a big miss for Toronto. For them not having a big man down there, that's going to be what really sets this series in Cleveland's favor more so than possibly with him on the court. I think you have a team in Toronto that's going to try to shoot. They're going to try to, you know, do everything they can to put up, you know, 100-plus points to try and get up there. I think, to me, the biggest situation that really will come about this is the rebounding. If Toronto can't get any boards, if we see the vice versa of what we saw in Game 7, where Toronto is the one not getting boards, they can't get second-chance shots, and Cleveland is coming down and Kyrie's hot, or Kevin Love has a good game. We all know Mr. 27, you know, 6-6 is going to do his thing. So the thing is if Toronto can't get any rebounds and they can't get any second-chance opportunities against the Cleveland team, that's going to try. And again, they just came off a series where they hit 75-plus threes. They're confident in their three-point shooting. They're very overly confident in their shooting right now. Will that be something that they shoot themselves to death, where maybe the threes don't fall so much because somebody's going to be in your face because you're not facing an Atlanta Hawks team that pretty much lets you shoot, you know, 300 threes for four straight games. I don't think that's going to be the opportunity that Cleveland has to be able to have the open looks that they had in the last series. But if they're too overly confident, then that can be something that Toronto might possibly take advantage of. But I think the absence of Valanciunas may be a little bit too big for Toronto to overcome, unless we see the emergence of a superstar in DeRozan or Lowry. That just happens overnight because we've seen it before. You know, a guy come over and take a series over and just, you know, play beyond their ability or beyond anything we've ever seen. But unless something like that happens, Cleveland seems to be in the front running of winning this series.
I'm up here running on empty. Okay, hold on. Okay, so Donnell, I'm going to dress this differently. This is what I was saying in mute mode. Okay, so your thoughts on this team in which Toronto, let me get it corrected again. Miami has not lost all postseason long. They are on an 8-0 run. and Toronto has been to the brink in every season, in every series playing 14 games, the totality of everything that they've needed to get this far. Now, just like Nacho hit on, is something that I'm thinking about wholeheartedly, right? Can Cleveland continue to shoot the ball at a hot rate? Can they continue to be an alarming hot team shooting the ball? Even though, to me personally, I don't think Atlanta defended the three-point line at all. For them to give up over 70 threes
made, not attempted. Now, whoa, let me say this the right way. Not attempted. They gave up over 70 threes made and weren't by any means. So are we going to get a different game? Are we going to get an inspired Toronto team where DeMar Carroll have to see how he feels? DeMar DeRozan goes out there on the edge. If we see consistent play from DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry, your thoughts on how this series could potentially go down?
I've said it to you before. I'll say it one more time real quick to preface this before I get into my Cleveland take. Basketball is the only sport where one guy can win a championship. It's the only sport. Barry Sanders has only won one playoff game his whole career. He's the most awesome thing I've ever seen on a football field. But it didn't matter. You got to win on both sides of football. I know Willie Mays is the greatest living baseball player of all time. He had one title in 1954 because his team wasn't better than everybody else. LeBron James is too good to not make the finals in the East. He's going to make the finals in the East regardless of jersey he wears until he stops playing in the East. That's how good he is. With that said, this series is already over. It's not fixed. It's just over. Cleveland's not going to shoot. Will they hit as many? I was at game 3 in Atlanta. There's no way they're going to hit that many. Kenneth Fly can't be that good again. He can't be as good as he was in game 3 and game 4. There's no way he can be that good again. Because why? Because I think he missed 2 shots per game. Kenneth Fly, I said, the 8th guy off the bench. Night in the starters. Kevin Love was played great. Kyrie was on fire. He took over games. JR didn't say nothing but just knocked down 3. One game, JR hit 9 threes and hit 9 field goals. He was 9 for 12. And that's it. He only took 3s. That can't happen. Doesn't matter. They're going to beat the hell out of Toronto. It's not because Toronto's not good. It's because the best player in the world is on Cleveland's roster. He's 100% healthy. He's only played 8 games in a month, which in the NBA season is crazy. He played about 22 games in a month. He played 8 games this month. They swept Detroit. They swept Atlanta. They've been chilling, watching TV. They're all healthy. Toronto's played 14 games out of 14 possible games. They're tired. They're not better than them, and they're tired, and they're young, and they count on mid-range jump shot. I like DeMar DeRozan, and he's going to be a good Laker next year. He's going to be great for the Lakers. Good for him. Shout-outs to Compton. With that said, they take 15-foot jump shots. Compton's going to be happy. L.A.'s going to be happy. I'm happy for him. But with that said, they're not beating Cleveland. They're not beating Cleveland, man. Listen, Cleveland's winning the whole thing, period. There ain't no way they're going to get derailed by some Toronto. They need that rematch. They need that. Golden State. Now, listen, what you need to worry about is if Golden State can win tonight. That's what you need to worry about. Well, is that series going to go the way we think it's going to go?
Whoa.
Before we jump into that, I get it. He's one of the best players on the planet.
He's not one of the best players on the planet.
I think you're pumping up the fact that the East is that weak. You can't put him. Yes, you're pumping up the fact that the East is that weak, and you're not really pumping up LeBron James because he's not running through the West like he is the East on any team, with the exception of the top 3 or 4. You put him on anything other than the top 4 or 5 teams, he's not running through the West. He's playing 14 of 14 games.
He had a 30 against Golden State.
And he lost.
In 6 games.
Without two starters.
Cleveland's winning the whole thing.
And he lost.
Without two starters.
That's right. But then you're not talking about LeBron anymore. You're talking about his health. So how are you going to sit here and boast LeBron, but he couldn't do it by himself? He needs the help. So let's
if you seriously think that somebody's going to win a game by himself, come on, man.
That's
when I say by himself,
that's
you can't play 5-on-1, man.
That's what you just said. Is that not
you
what
can't
you
play 5-on-1. There's no such thing as 5-on-1.
NBA is the only sport that one player can win you everything. Is that not what you just said? False.
It's damn right is what I said, but you need healthy basketball players.
How can you take it back and say, how are you going to believe one guy can win again?
I'm not taking it back. But you have to use your head here, boy. You can't have starters in the NBA. Bench guys are not starters. That's the reason why they call them starters. You can't take away 2 starters and say, he lost.
You just said he's the only player in the NBA that by himself can do it. You didn't talk about anyone else.
I said the NBA is the only
starter
for one guy.
You didn't talk about anything else.
There's no coaching in the NBA.
You said only him can win. That's all you said. But you didn't say anything about his team. So now he couldn't do it by himself against the West. He needs the other 2 players. That's what you're telling me.
Do it by himself. What I'm telling you is he makes – every team he's on, the best team wherever they're at. Now, just so happens he's been in the East this whole time. But Miami, he goes to the finals 4 straight years. He leaves Miami, there's nothing. He leaves
That's
Cleveland,
how we
they win like six games.
Yes.
No.
You're
you
making
play,
my point.
You play 82
That's
games.
How we the East is. That's how
you
yeah,
play 82
how
games.
It's
you don't play 82 games
it's
in
weak.
The East. It's the NBA. Everybody in the NBA is good.
I understand, and he is abnormally better against East teams than he is against West teams, right or wrong? He gets
no,
blown
of course
out
you're wrong.
By West teams than East teams.
He's got 4 MVPs. He got them all because he played in the East?
No,
man.
He got them all because he's the
whoa,
man.
Whoa. That might be true, though. That might be true. His MVP,
yeah.
Listen, let's be honest. Before this year, right? When has the East been tough? When has the Eastern Conference been
Never.
Tough? Before, okay, his MVP didn't come last year or the year before.
It didn't come
that.
Last year.
Wait.
No.
It didn't come last year or the year before that because that was Steph and that was KD. Every other year before that, he was on a monster team in Miami mowing through the Eastern Conference. Am I lying?
Do you understand he's been in the MVP race for a fucking decade? He's been in the top three or four for a decade.
In the Eastern Conference.
You can't win them all.
Let's be honest. In the Eastern Conference, in the past 10 years, one team he had to worry about. Detroit's
a champion in 04, yeah. They're okay.
Right,
yeah.
Because he even made a commercial a commercial talking about the championship run through Detroit, LeBron, with the LeBrons, remember? The grandfather LeBron, the young LeBron, all of that.
Right.
He knew that was it. He knew that he was getting beaten. He was beating everybody.
Right.
Let's be real here. And then he joined the super team, and we started mowing down them MVPs.
Why is it a super team? Is Golden State a super team? They have a lot of good players. You don't call them a super
team. No, you didn't have three superstars come to Golden State and get that done. You had Wade sit there and call dinner with Bosh and LeBron and say, you know what, let's fix our contract so we can play ball together.
I don't see why that's a big deal, but.
The objective is to win a championship, so I'm not hating on it. I'm just saying, let's be honest. Some teams are built, some teams are made. Do you get the difference where I'm coming from?
I totally get that. Is this Cleveland team built or made? This one that we have right now, is it built or is it made?
This is actually, to be honest, this is made. This is a made team.
Didn't LeBron come in there and ship some people out and bring some people in?
Oh, now LeBron's a general manager. He can trade guys. Now he can trade guys too. Wow.
I'm sorry, but the players that they got rid of, they were firmly behind until LeBron walked in the door, and LeBron didn't like them, and they're gone. And the players that he said he wanted are on the team. I'm not saying he's a general manager. I'm not that naive to think that. But to sit here and say that LeBron has no say or nothing to do with Cleveland, that's naive.
All right, so that means Carmelo Anthony's a fucking fool and got no juice because he took two guys that were competitive on the Knicks and gave them to Cleveland. So he has no juice. LeBron has juice then. Oh, I didn't know it worked that way. I didn't know it. And I'm not being funny. I just didn't know.
It is like that. Wait. Carmelo keep playing the way he's playing, ain't nothing going to ever happen. Whether if he pull people, Carmelo won't even open his mouth to say who he want with him or not. Carmelo even want to keep it real with the people in front of him. He just going to continue to get the ball at half court and launch. That's it. And he actually played outside of his strength. Who do you know is a megastar and plays outside of what's not their go-to move? Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo would do that. That's why there's no comparison with him and LeBron no more. They may have came out of high school.
There was never no comparison, really.
It will not happen. I don't care how many Phil Jackson triangles they put in New York, it will not happen. Carmelo is on that Knicks team to collect a damn check. That is it.
Carmelo had a very good year this year. He had a very good year. Personally, not the team wise.
And he still missed time. When is Carmelo gonna be healthy? When do you think the Knicks will make it to the second round? I don't even think Carmelo is wearing the number 7 jersey in blue and orange. He will not get to an Eastern Conference final like Patrick Ewing or none of them Oakley teams or none of that.
Unless Porzingis go crazy.
He ain't no world beater like that. Be easy. He's okay.
We see talent in his first season. He's 19 years old, dog. But let's be real. He's still growing.
Right.
Look, when they drafted him, he was 7 feet. You know he grew 3 inches this year. He's 7'3" now. He's still growing. Like, that's a problem.
With that said, the Knicks are not good. That's why they won. Carmelo's nothing. They're just not good.
Right.
I don't care if he's 7'5".
Right.
They're just not good. Ain't got nothing to do with Carmelo Anthony. They're just not good. They don't have a good basketball team. So, DeMarcus Cousins is a fantastic talent. Sacramento will never win anything.
People in New York, I want you to know that this is one of your brothers. Donnell, he's talking to us about the borough. He's talking about the city. Okay.
I'm a Carmelo fan. I'm realistic too.
No, I like Carmelo's game. I could clearly say I'm not a Carmelo fan. I'm not no more. I lost it. I'm not a Carmelo fan.
He's from my city.
I love his game, but I like when Carmelo's on the box and dudes that defend him know they can't do nothing with him right here. He will rather sit outside and shoot. Like, come on, dog. That's like Mike in his fadeaway day. That's like Mike in his fadeaway day. Don't want to shoot the fadeaway. Mike started shooting threes. Like, really?
Right.
You and me confused. You and me confused. What's going on? So that's like Dominique see the baseline and Dominique pulled up. Really? This is the era of basketball I lived through. I don't know, man. Y'all may see a difference.
Okay. Like any of us, when we get disinterested in something, we're going through the motions. This past two seasons, he's straight going through the motions, man. I know we're not going to win. I'm still going to be out here, and I'm going to get mine because I don't want to decline as a player. But no, the hell with posting up. That's a lot of work. I'm just going to take
screw all of that. So what are you playing for? He's rich already. Carmelo's got money. What are you playing for, dog? Like, I think every runner that's in the doggone league is playing for a championship somehow, some way.
You know that's not true. I like what you said, but you know that's not true. Everybody in the league is not playing for championship. If DeMarcus Cousins had that mentality, what you just said, he would be unstoppable. And he still is unstoppable, but he's also
Listen, Nacho, don't you say mm-hmm with him, because you don't know what the problem is with DeMarcus Cousins. I'm going to give Chris Paul a thumbs up. Chris Paul said it to a T. This was, I think it was last year, 2 years ago. The Sacramento Kings are playing the Clippers, and the Clippers beat the Kings. No, matter of fact, let me get it right. The Kings beat the Clippers, and CP3 went over to go shake Isaiah Thomas's hand. This is when Isaiah was on the Kings. This dude was grabbing Isaiah by both of his arms and pulling him like he was a little kid. Chris Paul said, I feel sorry for him. That boy needs guidance. The Marcus Cousins don't got no guidance. He don't got nobody in his corner to tell him right from wrong. He's a 24-year-old millionaire with a ton of money. Nobody to tell him right from wrong. Nobody. This is a problematic kid. Look, I didn't say anything about what he got in the bag. I didn't say nothing about what he got in the bag. Look, this is still the same kid. This is the same kid. His freshman year in college, he put out a tweet on Twitter talking about, if y'all feel some type of way, call him. He put his cell phone number on Twitter. Well, who coach in college basketball is going to allow that? Nobody. And he's still running that course. You got to be honest with yourself. Like I said, he got a Santa Claus bag. That's what I call dudes like DeMarcus Cousins. He got a Santa Claus bag. He got everything in there, and he can give you what you want. But at the end of the day, it won't work out until somebody with a basketball mindset calms him down. That's what it's going to take.
Kyle.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Cousins, there's reports that Pat Riley is interested in Cousins and bringing him to Miami. That could be huge.
There's that guy.
See, that would be crazy because then it all depends on how Boss looks. And second, how does the paint look with him and Whiteside in there together? You know what I'm saying? You think they leave Whiteside alone?
Because I think he's one of those guys now. Mind you, he took a long time. He played in Saudi Arabia, Japan, China. Like, he had to do all this. And now he's feeling like, damn, you know, I'm the shit. Like, I'm blocking shots. I'm going to go through free agency. I want to smell what everybody's cooking. And he really should be like, thank God you guys gave me a chance. I'm signing with the Heat from Jump Street. I don't understand why guys don't do that. Like Heat will give you a max deal. We'll take care of you. But, yeah, guys still want to go through this whole free agency and all this. Kevin Durant did a couple of years ago when he had his first deal. He literally announced it on Twitter and kept it moving. Like, nah, I'm signing with Oklahoma City. I don't do all that. That's it. Like,
I mean,
what is all this?
But I'm not trying to cut you off, but we also have to remember, though, that, this decision isn't solely these players. They've got about, you know, two or three, maybe four handlers. I'm going to call them handlers. You call them agents. You call them whatever you want to call them, or guidance counselors or financial advice, whatever, that are telling them where to go, where more money can come in, this and that. And whenever he makes his decision, we have to think that these guys are always looking for the most money in their pocket because they're always going to get a percentage. So when it comes to things like that, again, I do believe you. You're 100% right. Guys that have gone through the trials and tribulations that Hassan has gone through, and now you got a team that's going to take care of you. Why would you even ponder looking at someone else? But if you got
right.
four or five people that have been behind you, and they're like, well, if you go here, maybe it's, you know, this much more. Or you go here, they're talking about this. And some of these people, you know, as much as we all like to think are strong-willed and can really do everything for themselves, we all know people that just don't think for themselves, that listen to other people, that just listen to their friends and family or that guy that's been with them since they've been in high school, financial advising him since he was 14 or 15 or 16. So that when it comes to situations like this or situations like that where it's a guy who really should be, you know, ecstatic that the team that wants him is going to pay him all this money and he's willing to throw that away to try somewhere else, it's like, what are you really thinking, and is it really you that's thinking it?
And in the NBA's case, it's the most uneducated athlete potentially in sports. There's a lot of guys who
exactly.
go straight from high school to minor league baseball, granted. But you got so many managers from single A to double A. You got a lot of leadership. Bryce Harper, as great as he was, he still spent a whole full calendar year in the minor leagues. So he had a lot of people talking to him, professional people talking to him before he got a chance to get the monster money. In basketball, I literally spent 6 months at Name Your University here, and now I have some odd million dollars. 3 years later, I have a chance to triple that, and I really never really got much guidance from anybody because most likely in city situations, everybody, mama and daddy, didn't go to college. Let's not even flex on that. I'm a college-educated man. Both my parents were Winterville, North Carolina. Ain't nobody in the 50s going to college in Winterville, North Carolina. So with that said, they're good people, but they didn't go. And these kids' parents are even younger than mine. Moms were, like, married for 50 years type shit. These kids are now – moms is 19. By the time you're 19, she's 38. So I might not even have a chance to go to school. So now you get millions of dollars, I'm cool. I don't care where you play. I don't care where you play. Just get the money. You didn't come out on the athletes, I'm thinking right now. I wish I was loyal to Denver. I wish I was a guy like a lot of these guys, like Kobe and those guys. No one's going to give Carmelo Anthony a fucking celebration. You've already played – Denver, now you're in New York. You might potentially play somewhere else. Guys like that, KD is thinking about that. And I think Whiteside should be one of those guys that think like that. Let me just be loyal to this club. I'm good in Miami. There's no state tax anyway, by the way. It's Miami, and they love me, and they actually want me, and I have a chance to start here. Oh, you know, start wherever he goes anyway. I'll start, and the fans know me. I'm good, yo. I want somebody to step up one day and say, I'm good already. So stop chasing me around.
Mm-hmm.
As long as Riley and them show me love, and Riley will, because who doesn't want a center that runs like a deer, block shots, and don't even want no shots on offense. I'm good. Like, I'll follow up tip dump. Who doesn't want that? With that said, with that DeMarcus Cousins type news, come on, imagine how good that team could be. Imagine how good that team could be if you have a DeMarcus Cousins playing for someone like Ryder who's not going to take no shit. And he knows that. And Dwayne Wade is a senior leader saying, yo, chill. And you have to listen
mm-hmm.
to him because he got two rings. Imagine that. I want guys to do that.
Three.
I think KD's not going over.
KD's got three rings. He got three rings.
I apologize. Yeah, that's right. That's right, that's three.
Yeah, he got the first one with Shaquille. He got the first one with Shaquille
that's
in,
right.
though.
He sure did.
That,
he sure did.
Because
he won game five and game six by himself. Damn near.
Here's the situation, though. You look at it like, well, he's in Sacramento, and he was dealing with George Karl. And the name escapes me, the guy that, he had Coach Smart before Karl. Before that, it was Calipari. None of these coaches could control him. None of them. And then you put him in a lap of Spencer. Spencer's a video guy.
We can't call Calipari out. We can't call Calipari a coach. He's a broker. He's not a coach. He doesn't coach basketball. He's a broker.
Wow.
I got a deal for you, Derek.
Wow.
I'm going to make you a pro in 6 months, but you got to come play for me. Done. Once you start doing that shit in Memphis again after getting out of the polls, and that shit worked in Memphis when that program was dead, everyone did. This guy's got the magic touch. And guess what? Brandon Knight is a lottery pick, man. Brandon Knight just got good last year. He was a lottery pick on a team that didn't make the tournament, and they still got him in the pros. Brandon Knight, you can't even tell. If I ask somebody right now what school Brandon Knight go to, this is Florida, UMass. You don't remember Brandon Knight at Kentucky. But
he
got the juice, though. So now he's a broker. He's not a coach. He doesn't really coach basketball. He gets five guys. He gets the five best All-Americans. Sometimes I got a guy who's not that great. He might stay next year. Where the Twins at? Where the Twins that was on the that played the title game 2 years ago? Where they at right now?
The Havoc Boys. One of them's in, I think, Phoenix, and one of them's in Memphis.
I remember one in Memphis. I remember seeing him in the Bosco one time. They got a minute. With that said, he used them to get other guys because they were recruiting everybody. They were at the McDonald's All-American game recruiting the shit out of guys. And that's why they made the title game 2 years in a row. And now what? I'm good. You guys can go. I got new guards coming. So he's a broker. He's what he is. He's not a basketball coach. He's a broker. He was a basketball coach.
So Coach Cal wasn't getting the job done at UMass with Cambia Padilla and them.
As I say, he was a coach at UMass because that program was nothing. And he built that. Cambia was All-American, so it wasn't like, who's this Cambia guy? He was a McDonald's All-American. But other guys, Travis, I didn't even know these guys were until we started playing. And he built that program. But as soon as he got what he wanted, he got the hell out and went to the pros. So he's not on my list of guys to consider coaches and all that. He's more like a broker / slime ball. / smart guy. He's doing it a smart way. Everybody says, oh my God, the Kentucky program. How many championships does Kentucky have in the last 20 years?
In the last 20 years?
Yeah, two.
No, three.
1996.
Three. Right.
Yeah, give me three.
With Nazi Muhammad, with Tubby, and then they just got it with Anthony Davis. Easy.
Right, exactly.
You can't come to the kitchen and cook like that. You can't do that.
What I'm telling you is, we're calling Calipari a coach and all that. He only won one championship in the whole time he's been in Kentucky. Only one championship the whole time he's been there. And that team couldn't lose if they tried. Great recruiting. He's a recruiter. Say he's a recruiter, then. Call him a recruiter. He's an awesome recruiter.
Okay.
That team was good.
Hold on. So Coach K don't coach? Because Coach K recruits the shit out of people.
No, Coach K is a coach who happens to recruit well. That's different. This is not the same thing. Don't compare
Coach K go out there and get these kids, though. Do he or do he not?
He's getting a couple one-and-dones over the last 5 years. Yeah, you're right. He gets some, too. Yeah,
going to play for Coach K or they're going to play for Duke?
Kids are going to pay for Coach K. Guys are going to pay for Kentucky. They're not paying for Calipari. I want that Kentucky on my chest. I've scouted 32 times a night. I'm on TV 30 times a year, not even including the tournament. I'm playing for Kentucky. I don't even know what this guy's talking about. I'm going with him because I know he puts guys in the league. Jeff Teague's brother was a first-round pick. You don't even know where Jeff Teague's brother's at. He was a first-round pick. That was a great decision.
He wasn't. I think he was on Brooklyn. He was on Brooklyn at one point. Then he got crossed up and fell, and that was the end of his career.
Right. I remember him getting drafted to Chicago in the first round. My whole point was he should have been at a school 2 years now. He probably would have been a first round pick or something like that, like his brother. He still was a first round pick because he went to Kentucky. It's a great business decision for both guys. So Calipari is not a criminal. He's hooking you up. He's hooking himself up. He's winning 30 games a year, but they are not winning titles. Putting together these little mismatched all-star teams. They're not winning titles. Or they won with Anthony Davis. Come on, man. That guy's the best player in the fucking world. He could have started. He was on the Olympic team that year. That's how good he was.
Right.
A college player. He was on the Olympic team, man, legitimately. No one said, why?
At 18.
At 18, barely. He was on the Olympic team. And Gilchrist, with all due respect to Gilchrist, let's be for real. Don't everybody stop talking nice. Gilchrist is not that nice. But the fact of the matter is, he went to Kentucky, they won. Boom. He's the number 2 pick in the draft. I think Gilchrist averaged like 8 points a game, man. He's not that nice, but he did his job there, and that's what happened. It's all about Calipari putting you in the right position, not to get a better basketball player, to be in a better draft pick. He's awesome at that, and no one's better. No one's better than him at that. Nobody. Kentucky will not win a national championship while he's there anymore. That's it. Unless he gets the number one squad like he did before, gets three of the top five players in the world, in the country. If that happens, and it's been happening, as a matter of fact. It actually has been happening. But it's not working. Better teams are going to beat them. Teams are going to beat them. But he's going to keep on getting guys.
You saw that picture with Nova.
You saw that. Nova's got veteran guys who've been playing together for 3 years. In certain cases, Ozzie Dacono, 4 years. I'm a good passer tonight, this 16-year-old, 18-year-old freshman. I know how to get by him. I've been doing it for 4 years. Eventually, he's going to win. They're going to win. Josh Hart, Chris Jenkins are juniors. Those guys are good basketball players. No, they're not All-Americans. They're good basketball players. Who will be back? And guess what? Villanova's going to be in the mix again. So they got a whole bunch of, well, I mean, bunches of sophomore. But they got a whole bunch of veteran guys. Calipari won't win nothing. Keep on doing that. I can't stand that one-and-done bullshit. But, I mean, it is what it is. I don't blame the kids either. Get the money. You know, get it. Might as well.
Okay. Back away from those dishes, please. Back away. I still have more food to put out here, man. At least 8 dishes. I do have a caller calling in via Skype. Welcome to the wrap-up. What's your name? What's on your mind tonight?
Open your mouth.
Hello, Skype caller.
Uh-oh. Get back on that cell phone.
Yeah. We may be having a hiccup, but that's okay. I'm not going to let that time get soaked up or watch something get blared out. I don't want it to happen. I'm doing good. Okay. Here we have it. We are running a little over time. I tried my best for City, but these dudes are on fire in the kitchen, okay? They're on fire. They won't even let me get in. Like, I can't even break them up. I can't. But I try. Okay. So, my nerves are rattled, people. I want y'all to know my nerves are rattled. I am not by myself at the end of this show. If you know me personally, do not call me. Do not text me. Send me an email. I will be by myself. I will be chilling. Watching game one of
Amen.
The Western Conference Final. Now, everybody is calling me, texting me. They know I don't answer the text or the phone call. They are sending me emails. They are sending people. I know text messages. Listen, this is how bad it is for City, for your boy TP Thomas. If I don't answer their messages, they're sending people that are next to me messages to give me the message. Or calling them because they know they're next to me, so I can answer the phone and talk to them. Like, I feel like I got secret purpose or something. I really do. So something's going on. But everybody knows that the Golden State Warriors are the defending champions, and everybody knows that I'm a diehard Thunder fan. So that's why I've been getting chased. But this series has gotten interesting on how this thing could pan out. I got the likes of how Tommy feels about this situation going down. So I want to see how you guys, at least game one. And I'm going to ask you to get Tommy involved too, see how he's feeling about game one also. As a matter of fact, I'll start there. Tommy, your thoughts on game one, Golden State hosting the Oklahoma City Thunder. How do you feel about this game out the gate?
Golden State wins. They're playing too good right now at this whole. They'll have the fans. Golden State wins.
Okay, fair enough. Donna, your thoughts on this? He's getting
Tommy's
one
right.
Going down.
Tommy's right. They're playing really well right now, man. I just think Russell Westbrook's got this big-ass chip on the shoulder, and KD's remembering, oh, shit, you know, I was the MVP 2 years ago. Like, I'm nice, too. So I think, and Steven Adams, for some reason, out of the blue, can play ball now. He's nice. Camp is, he can't play no D, but I like Oklahoma City in game one, man.
Ooh, don't do it. I wanted to be by myself. I wanted to be by myself.
I know you did.
Okay.
I know you did. But I just like the way Katie's playing and Katie and Russell playing together. I mean, they always play well. I like the way they're playing together recently. I really do, man. I like it. Plus, I want him to resign. I want KD to resign Oklahoma City anyway. So I need them to win the series so they can be signed there.
Wait, hold on. You want to live inside with Oklahoma City. Do you know how many times a day I deal with Tommy talking about he going to D.C.? He going to Miami. Listen, I've been hearing this left and right, okay? But you don't know, okay?
I hear you,
what it's like.
It's, unless he's got some really bad people on his side or he's someone who just don't have any balls of his own, you're not going to find a better situation to play in. I mean, outside of what? San Antonio and Golden State? Which, of course, that'd be corny as hell. You just to turn around and just be a Spur? That'd be great. That team's going to win 75 games if he's going to the Spurs tomorrow. But why would you do that? You have your own team, and they love you there, and you got two big boys that don't even want no shots, and Russell Westbrook in the prime of his life. Man, stay in Oklahoma City. You the man, yo. Stay there. Wear one jersey the rest of your career. It's okay to be loyal, guys. I know it's corny nowadays to stay with one team and just be that guy, but he should be that guy. He should be that guy. He really should. I hope.
Okay. You listen, stop. You sound like you're reading my cookbook. I'm like, get out of my cookbook. Please leave my cookbook alone. Jesus. Look, he eating my home
money,
cookie.
Money.
I hear you.
And I'm telling you right now, I'm not guaranteeing it. Pat Riley will throw everything at the book. And if they're talking about getting Cousins,
ooh,
then wait, they get KD too.
That'd be
wow.
Sick. Look, every side, white side. They got more money for no other players. You got five players.
Listen, give him DeMarcus Cousins and John Wall. They may be all set. That's what they can have. They can do it.
Hey, I take Cousins in D.C.
Of course.
I'd get rid of Carter and A.A. in a heartbeat.
Of course you would. No doubt.
Yeah. So, you can keep Otto Porter, though. I know you love that, too. I know you love that.
Oh, please. I can't wait till he comes free agent to get rid of that. Get rid of him.
Listen, don't blame it on him. He played 2 years at Georgetown and had one half-decent sophomore year. Y'all made him a lottery pick. Don't blame it on him to take the money. The fourth pick in the draft.
Look, he was playing good at Georgetown. Hey, I don't want to hear this. I was killing in Georgetown, man. I wanted him to stay.
He had a great sophomore year.
The agent's like, you know what? You can leave Georgetown. We can get you some big money down the road.
He left. For real, man. He just ran and got that money.
I don't like this. I don't pineapples. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Okay, Nacho, you're up on this game out the bag. It's already 1-1. Tommy going with Golden State. DM going with OKC. Who do you like in game one?
I mean, you know, the topic's in one. We kind of got off it a little. For what it's worth, he's staying in OKC. The problem that I see with this game is nothing. There's not a single problem with this game. It's amazing. To the people out there that are listening, if you've never seen Captain America, Civil War, don't worry, you're going to watch it live on an NBA court tonight. This is going to be one of the best games, series, whatever you want to call it, we've seen from teams that can shoot the ball lights out at any given time that I think we can remember in a long time. So to me, I'm just ready to see everything go down tonight and witness this triple overtime win by the Golden State Warriors. I think that, man, you're right. KD, Russell Westbrook, Adam, Enes Kanter, all those guys, they're balling right now, and they were doing everything they can to get out of that San Antonio series to shut them down, and you know, I just what worries me most is we remember this team a couple years ago getting beat two games by the Spurs, winning four straight, and then thoroughly getting waxed in the finals. Is this a carryover? Is this something that we see with this team again, where they put everything in their basket for the Spurs to knock them out, and there's nothing left for the next series? This one being the Western Conference Finals instead of the NBA. I hope that's not the case. I want to see every single bit of everything that the Thunder have to throw at the Warriors. So I'm going with a triple overtime win for the Golden State Warriors. And just to make it even more spicy, Russell Westbrook to send it into the first overtime, Steph Curry to send it into the second overtime, Kevin Durant to send it into the third overtime, and just because Draymond Green hits the game winner in the third overtime. I really do think this is going to be so fun. And if it does end like that, similar fashion, just a bunch of game winners and overtimes in game one, I'll be ecstatic. But I'm going Golden State game one, also perfectly in overtimes with standing.
Okay, I do have the Skype caller back. Hopefully it's working. Skype caller, welcome to the wrap-up. What's your name? What's on your mind tonight?
What's good, Tyrone? How you doing, my man?
I'm doing all right. So you call in and then don't want to answer until we start talking about this game, huh?
I just left your message in the chat, man. I was away from the computer.
Okay, fair enough. As soon as I start talking Golden State, he puts his hand up quickly, sports, baby. Quickly. I look, they say be careful what you ask for. This is what I've been told as a young guy. You know what I'm saying? And now, this series is here, Patrick. This is what you asked for. You wanted to see us go at it? Well, they gave it to us. Your thoughts on this series? Just game one. Your thoughts on this game in the Oracle?
Warriors at home.
That's all you have to it. That's it. That's okay. Okay. Fair enough. Well, I thought I would be by myself. Donnell slid into the kitchen and threw the Thunder talk in there, too. It's still 3-2 right now. The Warriors are ahead in the voting as of now. I can't go nowhere else. This is my team. Donnell is not a Thunder or a Warrior fan. Nacho is not a Thunder or a Warrior fan. Hell, Tommy is not a Warrior or a Thunder fan. And, well, the guy that's been asking for this to go down so long, Patrick, is not a Thunder or a Warrior fan. But y'all know me. I cannot leave home. Some people like their teams. I love my team. There's a difference. Some people like the Packers. Some people like the Raiders. You know, some people like the Ravens. You know what I mean? I love my team. You know what I mean? So I'm not going nowhere, man. This is going to be a hell of a game. All the stars are out. I'm not even going to lie. As much as I did want to see my boys win, either way that last series went down, I think this still would have been an enormous Western Conference, whether it were the Thunder playing them or the Spurs playing the Warriors. At least it was quality at the top of the food chain in, to me, the better conference. Still. Even though it was good ball being played this year in the Eastern Conference. But like I said, the stars are out. The point guard battle is what everybody can't wait to see. Klay, KD, Draymond, Serge. I don't know what else to say, man. But all I know is blue and orange. That's all I know. Anything that you guys would like to address, whether it's regarding this game or the series, before we start to close up shop, here's the wrap up. Wow, everybody is stunned silent. Like, really? Nobody has nothing to say? Nothing. Okay. Well, this is quite fun, fair. Now I could actually get out and you know, play some Rocky music. I feel like I need to throw a couple jabs, straight rights and hooks at the punching bag before 9 o'clock hits. I have, like, 40 minutes till I get there. I need plugs, closeouts, promos from each of you before we shut it down. Pat, I'll come to you first. Thank you for stopping by the kitchen. Here at the wrap-up.
Oh, I just want you to enjoy the series.
What'd you say? I couldn't hear you.
I just want you to enjoy the series.
Enjoy the series? Okay. It's breaking up, man. You and your Skype, we got to fix the Skype. That's probably what was happening. You probably were talking, and I couldn't hear you, so it's breaking up. So we got to get that fixed for sure. Nacho, give me a plug, close out, shout out, anything that you like to promote as we shut it down. Here's the wrap-up.
At Nacho in the Box, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. You know, great show today. No brunch yesterday, so we missed a couple topics that we're going to miss today because Ty had a team to watch. But UFC being sold, Cyborg to dominate Rousey, new heavyweight champion. Those are a couple topics I did want to touch on tomorrow night. So definitely with you guys are checking it out. Check us out tomorrow on the check us out tomorrow Tuesday at the same time. But there's you know, some definite things that, you know, I wanted to touch on there. And again, NFL around the corner. Now, Ty, I do have a little bone to pick with you. I can differ that phrase. I love the Green Bay Packers. They're tatted on me. We could probably say I like the Phoenix Suns more or less to make your analogy correct.
That was a drug bet. Somebody drug bet you that you wouldn't get the Packers tattooed on you, and you did it because you lost the drug bet. I know how those go, man. I met a dude when I was out there in Vegas. He was from Arizona, and he said 90 to 95% of the people that you meet in Arizona are assholes. Just saying. And this was a guy that he was from Arizona. And he was from Arizona.
Wasn't.
Yeah, I'm dead serious.
But you have to understand, though, Ty, this is a hotbed of everyone from the cold states. I mean, I can't tell you how many people originally from Arizona that are here in the apartment complex that I live with. I know about maybe 30 or 40 people in this complex, and about 25 to 30 of them are not from Arizona, but have lived here for 10, 15 years. So that's a bunch of states like Connecticut, a bunch of states like Maine, a bunch of states like Montana, and those real cold ones, New York and Pittsburgh, and all those states that get real, real cold, and people get tired of living in the snow, they come down here and don't know how to deal with it. The heat, and they become assholes. So that's really what I think he was talking about.
Where are you from?
I'm from here.
Okay.
Born and raised.
That says it all. You might be a part of that 90-95%.
Oh, no, but see, the problem is a lot of people think I'm trying to be funny and make jokes. I'm an asshole, an admitted one, and I don't have no doubt about it. But see, that's the problem is I don't believe that me being an Arizona native has anything to do with it. You know, where I was born and raised, I think anywhere on the continental U.S., on any kind of continent, wherever, I'd have been born and raised an asshole anywhere. So the heat really doesn't bother me. And make a difference. So I'm not going to blame Arizona for me being the asshole that I am today.
We're back.
the other things that were really on my mind that we can get into later, obviously, because of how far away it is, but the proclamations being made by media outlets and different kind of organizations, whether it be the Four Letter Network or the NFL Network or you know, we can roll it on NBC, ABC, Fox, and all them other places about who's really going to be good and what the definition of really being good on paper and on the field means. We got a lot of pundits that are reading some papers and believing that you can fold that paper up into a human and make it play on the field. So we'll definitely get into that. And these teams that are supposed to be good that are just not going to be in the NFL. So that'll be a good topic for later on this week. And stay tuned. I know we have some different things going on, but there is a mega fight that, you know, I don't know why Ty or Tommy didn't bring it up today, but I'll just leave it at mega fight and how stupid and idiotic it is, and we'll probably talk about that too tomorrow.
Well, one just got canceled. I know that. One fight just got canceled, and shout out to my boy Deontay. That's all I got to say, man. They trying to take the juice to fight my boy, man. They taking juice. For Vekin, I still respect you, though. That boy's a power puncher, for real. But I wonder if there's power behind these punches, if he ain't got no Kool-Aid in his body. Well, let's see if he can do something. As of this fight being postponed. We'll save that talk for the cookout tomorrow. Believe me, the grill will be wide open. All right, Tommy, you already know what to do. plug, close out, shout out, promo, and this is crazy that these dudes are going at it. Sports City, I got to deal with fires, and I wasn't even thinking that these dudes would be fighting. Look, this is what I'm talking, Sports City. I got to start bringing my fire extinguisher. I got to, man. I wasn't even expecting it to go down. So, Tommy, plug, close out, shout out, anything that you like to promote, we shut it down. Here's the wrap-up.
Yeah, I'm a 100% at Miami Hurricanes fan, Todd. You know that. I live, I die, I sleep, I breathe the University of Miami. You know this. I've got it tattooed on me. I've got Sean Taylor's number on me. I live, I die, I sleep the University of Miami. Now, if you didn't see it, I can't believe it didn't get brought up, because the punch was thrown harder than Floyd Mayweather will ever throw.
I was waiting for Wednesday.
Thank you for laying Jose Bautista's ass out. For Toronto fans that want to bitch and whine and cry about it, well, guess what? Anybody that's a hardcore baseball fan knows baseball players don't forget shit. It will come back on you. Bautista, you want to flip the bat, stand there and pose last year in the playoffs. Well, guess what? You got hit by a pitch. Get over it. Then you want to slide hard and late in the second base. You're lucky it wasn't me throwing the baseball, because I guarantee you right now, I'd fall would hit you in the face. Because I was taught how to throw the baseball when someone slid late. You armed the ball a little bit, and the ball would have shattered your face. Guarantee it. So once again, fuck you, Toronto, and fuck you, Canada.
Wow. Oh, I tell you, boy, it's getting kind of hectic in this kitchen. I tell you, boy, I may have had the kitchen closed, but that heat is not going anywhere. You hear me? He's right. I did miss that, but I sure was talking about it. Believe me, they both see what I do, both of them, all three of them. Pat's still here, too. All three of them. I put that punch up first because order, woo, woo. And the crazy thing is he hit Bautista so hard. Look, and if you didn't see it, please go YouTube it. He hit Bautista so hard, Bautista back on like 5 steps with nobody holding him yet. Like, that punch hit him, he was like, that boy got some pepper on that. He has some pepper on that. By the time he came to, he grabbed Bautista from behind. Then Bautista wanted to get tight like he wanted to do something. You ain't want no problem. You did want, and I, you didn't. But you know, I'm up here talking bad about Bautista like I don't like him as a baseball player, because I do like Joey Bats as a baseball player.
I hate this son of a bitch. I'm glad somebody hit him. I'm glad.
Wow.
I wish he would have played in the 60s and 70s. Because he did that shit earlier, I'll bet you that baseball would have hit him in the face.
Well, I respect him at the plate. He's a good contact hitter. He's a Deadpool hitter as well. He helped Toronto in their postseason run. I'm actually talking good about him like I like the Blue Jays or something. Like, I need to stop. But Bautista, I know that it's going to be war every time these two teams meet up. It's going to be war. Hell, if they actually see each other before the game starts, Bautista might try to sneak him. I don't know. This is going to be ugly, but that was a clean clock. He hit him so hard, those sunglasses hit the diamond. And I'm not talking about jewelry either. SportsCityChef.com. Check out the website. Interview the Flyers with Chef. We'll be back here tomorrow, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard. The cookout will be in full force. I will be talking about this punch because Tommy got me messed up. And also, not to bring up the UFC and boxing game, I got to get with it. Look, Sports City, this is what y'all do. Y'all tell them to get on their stuff, man, because y'all hear me. I'll be like, Tommy, you want to talk about something? Nacho, you want to talk about something? Pat, y'all want to talk about something? Is there anything that y'all want to talk about before I start to shut it down? Y'all hear me say these same words. There is no lie coming out of my mouth right now. They cross it right here and don't say nothing until they close out. Come, they be like, well, you know what? Ty ain't seen this, so I'm going to say it right now at the end of the show so we can't talk about it until tomorrow. So they didn't blame me. Like, I didn't give them ample opportunity. They did this to me all the time, Sports City. But on that note, tell a friend, it's the Chefs again. Game one is in a few minutes, people. And if they don't know, now they know.
You. One. One, two. Check me out right here, yo.
Yo, the sun don't shine forever, but as long as it's here, then we might as well shine together. Better now than never, business before pleasure. P. Diddy and the fam, who you know do it better. Yeah, right, no matter what, be airtight. So
yeah,
when you hear something, make sure you hear it right. Don't make an ass out of yourself by assuming our music keeps you moving. What are you proving? You know that I'm two levels above you, baby. Talk me, baby, I'ma make you love me, baby. Talking crazy ain't gonna get you nothing but choke. And that jealousy is only gonna leave you broke. You know the only thing left now is God for these cats. And babe, you know you're too hard for these cats. I'ma win cause I'm too smart for these cats. While they making up facts,
in the commission, you ask for permission to hit him. He don't like me, him and Wild Wife, he was with him.